This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Right, what to look for in a partner, in a spouse. The famous hadith, I'm sure most of you know, which is related by Imam Muslim. تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعٍ لِمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا فَظْفُرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. Imam Muslim relates this hadith on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving a general observation. Why do people get married to others for? Think about it. Why do people get married to others? You know, not just religious perspective. You know, they get married to somebody. Some of these things don't necessarily apply in our culture. Cultures are different. So he's just talking across cultures, what people might get married for. And obviously he's taking into consideration the culture of the Arabs of the time. So generally people get married for four reasons. Generally they all come down to four reasons. One, for her wealth. Now he's talking to men. That's why he's saying for the, you know, why a woman, why would, what reasons would you like to marry a woman for? This same thing applies the other way around, and you could even add to it based from the on the woman's perspective. But this is not being this hadith is not discriminating against women. Just the fact that the Prophet ﷺ made this statement when he's talking to men, hey, what do you guys get married for? This is what you generally get married for. This is what you look for. The wealth. What he means by wealth generally is that, and I don't like this idea at all. You're getting married to a woman with a lot of wealth. Why? So that you can use her wealth. Right? She's got a nice house. So you can live in that house. She drives nice cars. She's a CEO of a company or something like that. She's got a major inheritance. So mashallah, you're going to go on holidays with her and stuff like that. And she's going to pay for you. She's got a nice platinum American Express. You know, so that's why you're getting married. As I said, I don't think most of us have that issue. Right? I don't think that most of us have that issue. And I could be wrong. But sometimes the parents look at this issue. It's not wrong to look at it completely unless you only look at that issue. It's completely fine. Parents look at this issue. What kind of family are they from? Another reason might be, I don't have to spend on that because you're very selfish. Believe me, there are people like that. They've marked out how they're spending their money, and when they get their wife, they want them to contribute. That is just so unmanly. I'm not joking, it is just so unmanly to do that. If you get married without the ability to be able to spend on your spouse, right, then you're not fit to get married. That is one of the fundamental requirements, that she should come for free, for the free ride. Even if she's making more money than you, she can do what she wants with that. She can go sadaqah, she can give you some, or she doesn't have to. Believe me, it's so unmanly to ask your wife for money unless you're borrowing and giving back to her. In extreme situations, basically you have to pay half the rent. It's wrong. I just like to mention a fiqhi point here for those who are married, is that if you're both working, we have cases where both are working, they're pooling their money together, they're buying stuff of the house, the stuff in the house together, then you need to make sure, from a fiqhi perspective, just in case one of you dies, because one of you will die first and the other will die after, or you both will die eventually, you have to know what the percentage of share is, because there will be implications in your inheritance. So you have to know, okay, is it straightforward 50-50 partnership, regardless of what people are putting in? If it's like that, that's fine. So the washing machine, 50-50. Not that you're going to go around saying, hey, this is 50-50 all the time, and tell everybody, brother, everything is 50-50. You don't have to do that. But you just know, and it's in your will, so that when one of you dies, how the inheritance gets split is clear. Otherwise, there's a major problem. Or if there's a divorce issue, then it also gets confusing. So you need to know in joint situations like that. So if the husband's the one making the money and the wife is not working, then it's assumed that everything the husband is buying is there is his. Unless he's giving something as a gift to the wife, then it's hers. So you have to know the ownership. Another one might be that... Another reason, I want to get married to a rich woman because my children will then inherit from her family, will inherit from them, so my children will be well off. That could be another reason. These are just possible reasons. We're not saying whether they're good or bad reasons. We're just saying these are possible reasons. Okay, family. Right. When it comes to family, it's not as big of a deal as much as it was in the time of the Arabs before, because I said they had strong tribal affiliations and relationships, so you needed to be married to a family that had a good name. Because then you had their protection as well. They would come for you, meaning they would support you, they would strengthen you. It was a sense of honor. I'm married. And you'll see that in the Jahiliyyah poetry. I'm married to a woman from such and such a tribe. That was a sense of fakhr. That was a sense of pride, right? So that was a big thing in those days. Well, there's other good reasons for that. This one might not be the best reason, that you want to boast, I'm married to that tribe, you know, I'm married to that woman, they don't give their girls to anybody, but I got one, right? First shot, you know, I proposed and I got it. 10 other people had applied and they didn't get it, and I got it first round, alhamdulillah, right? Their nurturing is going to be superior. If they're from a good family with good akhlaq, good morals, good character, good understanding, you'd expect that genetically they would be better off. They'll be better off in that sense, their akhlaq and so on, that will go into your children. So that's a good reason to look at this issue. So what we're going to look at is a good family that have good character, the way they deal with others. They're not those kind of people who are going to come after you with baseball bats if there's a problem. But they're going to deal with it sitting down and, you know, and relaxed, you know, with akhlaq, with character. That's what my dad said. He goes, we don't want a family who are going to just come and argue with you every day if there's something goes wrong. You know, you want somebody that can talk to you. Things might go wrong. You just want somebody that you can talk to. Because there's this concept of irk, and it's all genetics at the end of the day. I mean, what we're discovering, right? Maybe it's a vein. That once a person had a child that was dark. So he was like, that's not my wife's child. That's not my child. He says, no, it is. It's possible that above there's, there was just somebody who was dark. And that's why you've just got that. So we understand that through genetics today anyway. Right? So hasab, family lineage, in some aspects for us could relate to just character and conduct, behavior, which then passes over to the children, and it's just better to be able to deal with such a family. But if their hasab, their family is based on pomp and arrogance, then I feel sorry for you. Right? Because if you don't stand up to their level, you're going to be looked down upon. Number three is the beauty. I don't need to speak about beauty. Beauty is beauty. You know, it's temporary. It's temporal. It's only for a certain amount of time. Tomorrow anything can happen. Subhanallah. You might see some, if you're into beauty, then tomorrow you might see something more beautiful and this one is no longer beautiful anymore. That's what the problem is. Right? But again, what is the shared characteristic between wealth, family, and beauty that is not found in deen? It's temporal, it's temporary. It's only limited to this world. None of that, your beauty, your family, lineage, your wealth is not going to go into the hereafter. All of those have potential that you use it in the right way and you earn rewards for the hereafter. But they intrinsically can't go to the hereafter. So the Prophet ﷺ said, فَظْفُرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ. Win. Become a winner, a champion with the deen aspect. He didn't say with only the deen aspect. He said, but become a champion with the deen aspect is the main aspect. تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ, which means may your hands be soiled, which means may you become a poor person if you don't take that into consideration. He was just trying to emphasize how important that is. Now let's put this in perspective. When I was studying, and I've probably read this hadith so many times, it came in Mishkat, it came in Bukhari, it came in numerous ahadith. So in my mind, it was like, okay, we're going to get married to a religious woman. I don't care about beauty. And some people actually encourage that, you know, just make sure you talk about the deen. They don't put it in perspective. So I had, I had formed this opinion that I'm just going to get married to a deeny woman. I don't care about, you know, her looks or anything like that. Because intellectually, you can convince yourself, right? We are human beings. We can intellectually convince ourselves. There was a guy in my class. There were two people in my class that were married. Right, while we were studying, there were two people in my class that were married. One of them was a really sincere, genuine, very quiet kind of man, not an outgoing kind of person, right? One day he heard me saying, you know, we should just focus on the deen. I was like going on about it. He took me to the side. He says, you know, let me tell you something. Right? He said, you know, you're talking about deen, which is a good thing. But don't overlook the beauty aspect. The attractiveness aspect. Why? Because when you go, when you're going to go outside, you're going to see all forms of attraction. Fake, good, sincere, bad, fake, imitation, artificial, shaitani. You're going to see all forms of attraction outside. Right? When you come home and it's not there, how long is your resolve going to last? You're going to feel like you don't have what you've just seen. Right? So he was talking about it from the context of where we live. Subhanallah, the way we live, you can't even look down and be protected. Right? One of my friends, he went to Jamaat in Austria. And he said it's even worse than England. He said we were in Jamaat for a month. And we would sit in the tube. You can't look up. You can't even look down because... So he goes, this is how we spent. Because in Jamaat, you want to be really protected. You want to get something out of it. He says, the way we used to sit was like this. With a newspaper in front of us every day. Even in the newspaper, you have to find the right page. Just being honest, seriously. And this person's nasiha, it did strike me at that time. So my then dua changed. That Allah give me both. Give me everything. That's why... If you have been successful with the deen and you've also got a good family, maybe some wealth as well with it, and beauty, then you are the luckiest person in the world. So we're not trying to say that these things need to be discredited and overlooked. But make sure you don't look at them only and get the most stunning woman who doesn't have good deen. Or get the most stunning husband that doesn't have deen. Because this applies the other way around as well. But believe me, make dua if you're not married. Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you all four, because He has the ability to do that. Don't underestimate Allah. And if you are already married and you can't do this again, right, which is generally the case, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah gives you the benefits of all of these four and He can even do that. So don't feel bad about it if you don't have all four. But believe me, if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't want to make this too personal, but that person's advice was dot on, spot on in terms of where we live. And it's only getting worse. The dunya is only getting worse in that regard.